to come to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this 15th Sunday after Pentecost, our hymns are 785, 782, 851, 621, and 783. Pastor Paul Mell is our pastor today, and Ron Baker is at the console or the organ. Welcome, and our Lord bless our worship this morning. We invite you to sing with us and receive our opening hymn, hymn number 785. We praise you, O God.
Good morning and welcome to Emmanuel Lutheran Church on this beautiful Sunday. I am to announce that next week there won't be any Bible class or Sunday school because they're going to be celebrating the 75th anniversary of the broadcast of this service that began on September 24th, 1950. That is a long time. So there will be a celebration in a picnic somewhere. Here? You're going to just sort of camp out here? Okay. I might show up to see what that looks like. All right. We'll be following the order of service as it is printed in our bulletin, and we'll begin with hymn 785. Please rise as we make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may do life in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Your testimonies are righteous forever. Righteous are you, O Lord. You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness. My zeal consumes me. Your promise is well tried. Your righteousness is righteous forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Your testimonies are righteous forever. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, keep your church in perpetual mercy, and because without you we cannot but fall, Preserve us from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Old Testament reading for this Sunday is taken from Amos chapter 8. Hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, "When will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make an ephah small and a shekel great and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat? The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire then that in every place men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Likewise also that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. For Adam was formed first and then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a transgressor. Yet she will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control. This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus also said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you no longer can be a manager.' And the manager said to himself, 'What shall I do? Since my master is taking the management away from me, I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I am removed from management, people may receive me into their houses.' So, summoning his master's debtor one by one, he said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and the one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will trust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He crucified, the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. And I have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection and the life of the world to come. You may be seated as we continue with our sermon hymn, hymn 782. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from our gospel lesson, because I'm not going to touch the epistle lesson. These verses. And I tell you, win friends for yourselves with the worldly wealth that is often used in wrong ways, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into the everlasting homes. The person who can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much, and the person who is dishonest with very little is dishonest with much. Dick Tripp, a minister out of New Zealand, wrote a little book about the purpose of a man's life. And he begins his little booklet with a story of a young man named Ray Hu, who was a student at Iowa State University, came back home to Jamaica for the summer and was interviewed for a job that he was applying for at a banana company. The interviewer seemed to be liking him, and the interview was going well until, in an answer to the question, "What do you do in your spare time?" he explained that he spent a lot of time in Christian activities because he'd like to be a missionary when he finishes with his school. And immediately the interview tone changed. He was told, "Young man, your ambitions are noble, but we want men who will dedicate their lives to bananas." In our gospel lesson today, we can recognize one of the most hidden dangers of life that we face in our modern culture. It's the danger that comes from having to decide what to do with all our stuff. More importantly, what are we to do with all of our lives? Not just the wealth of things, but our time and our talents that God has given to us. I find it odd that one of the biggest complaints from our culture, especially the young, that I get to hang around with a lot, is that people are bored. All sorts of entertainment and diversions, but we don't have anything to do. Recall some riots back in Kansas City a few years ago. The response of the city fathers: "Well, the kids don't have anything to do, so why should we be surprised that they start looting and fighting and shooting people down at the plaza?" Because they don't have anything to do? Back in the day, there was bean walking, buck some hay, and, you know, there was things to do. You even got paid $1 an hour. On the other hand, we hear also complaints about people having too much to do, too much to eat, too many activities, too many choices. People even get angry if they don't have as much disposable income as other people. And we forget that we ask God in the Lord's Prayer to give us this day our daily bread. The danger lies in the fact that we don't want to look all of this stuff as a potential problem. Besides this particular passage, God's Word has over 250 references to money, wealth, and riches, but here's the deal. We like money. We like stuff. And the devil knows this. And he makes it easy to imagine that we can serve both God and mammon. At least that's how he begins his work on us. Because he also knows that when push comes to shove, he knows which one we'll choose. So we come to a text like ours today, and it invites us to look at wealth in a bit of a different way. Jesus says a kind of an odd thing. He praises a man who has been dishonest because at least he was shrewd. He writes, "In dealing with their own kind of people, the men of this world are more shrewd than those who are in the light." And then that part of our text which gets a little confusing, where it says, "Make friends for yourselves with the wealth of the world, so that when it gives out, as it always will, you will be welcomed into everlasting homes. Imagine going into a house, and there on the mantle is a brand new saber saw, never used, never touched, never will be, in a place of honor. Instead of a kitchen table, there's a drill press. The living room is filled with screwdrivers and hammers and pliers and wrenches and no place to sit. The bedroom mattress is stuffed with nuts and bolts and nails and washers, and everything's brand new, never been used. In fact, the person did what most folks today do when they have too much stuff. They go out and rent a storage unit or maybe even a bank vault to put all those tools in. And we would think that person is loony. And we would be right. Perhaps he had begun with the idea of building something, but he became enamored with the tools. Do you realize that all our time, talents, and treasures, and all the stuff that God gives us are tools that God gives you for work in the kingdom of God? And that's it. By the grace of God, we confess that eternal life is more important than a little bit of time that we are given here on this earth, because the eternal life is eternal. But God gives us this little bit of time to build something important, the kingdom of God. We also know that we're going to be held accountable for the use of all those tools. And what's more, as soon as we don't care and the tools take the place of the love we have for our Lord, we can eventually lose it all. The last verse warns us no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, or talents, or time, or stuff. In fact, Jesus uses the term unrighteous mammon, back in the old King James Version, to express his disgust over so often hearing the phrases like, my money, my land, my house, my talents, instead of recognizing whose it is in the first place. I had a member of mine back in the day, 30 years ago, she went over to Memphis to the boats, and she won $2,000. She went a lot, and that's the only time she ever bragged about winning $2,000. My guess is she lost at least that. But anyway, she came back, and I just made the snide comment, well, don't forget where 10% should go. And she says, why? Whose was it to begin with? Do you know how much folks hate to hear that? Some hate it so much that it was enough to drive a lot of folks away from Jesus. We are told that the money-loving Pharisees heard all this and they turned away. You see, they had made their choice. The warning fell on deaf ears, and they're not the only ones. Jesus would later remind us that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, look at your life. Where is your treasure? That tells you a lot where your heart is. This past week, someone sent me a sermon from a young pastor who was trying to make a point that we should love everybody. Well, that's true. No matter what. Well, that's, we can get into that. And then they throw in some other passages that are true also, but taken out of context. There's no difference between Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, all of which is great. And then they added also, and transgender. I'm thinking, what are you doing? It might have been a response to Charlie Kirk's message that some are trying to characterize as hate speech because they obviously have never watched or listened to anything he said. Should we love everybody, even our enemies? Yes, we should. Does love mean that we don't address the sin that affects us all? No, it doesn't. When asked by a Pharisee what the greatest commandment was, Jesus replied, not love your neighbor. That's not what he said. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And then the second comes in the second place, love your neighbor. So you don't ignore all the things that God has told us to do. because we choose to love something that is blasphemous. What are the most important things in your life? Your stuff? Your spouse? Your children? Those things are pretty important. There is even a lot of commercials of late that have claimed that your family should be the most important thing in your life. It's a popular thought, and who would argue with that? I hope Christians would notice that there might be a little bit of a problem, especially 2 weeks ago in our gospel lesson. Which is why Jesus disturbed some people one day when he said, "Anyone who loves father or mother, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The one who finds his life will lose it, but the one who loses his life for me will find it." And I know that's a hard thing to hear. But it is our challenge to believe it. Faith means that we believe that God knows what he's doing with our lives. It means that if we really believe that our lives are secure in him, we won't care, even if we lose our physical lives. We won't be concerned about what the masses are saying or what the great wealth for our own personal pleasures might mean in living for today only. Give it all to the Lord, he says, and all these things, everything you need, and 100 times more will be added to you. When that happens, you may be in for some surprises. God doesn't say you automatically have to become stupid or poor or lazy. He says actually be shrewd, be cunning. Even as much as people use their brains for gaining earthly wealth, Christians can use their brains for the kingdom of God. In fact, he encourages it. Just think of it, a shrewd and cunning Christian who is able to tame the world and make it work for the eternal purposes of God's kingdom. This is what was meant when Jesus says in Matthew 10 that we are to be as shrewd as serpents. The word shrewd is the same word applied to the 5 wise virgins in that parable, or the wise and faithful servant in another. Why? Why are the people of this world more determined to meet their own personal objectives when the children of light don't really have any personal objectives for the kingdom of God? If worldly wealth can be used to gain friends on worldly terms, then why not use worldly wealth to gain spiritual things? By the same principle, dishonesty in the use of spiritual blessings is assumed when there is dishonesty in the use of material things. Who would give anyone true riches when they have been unfaithful in dealing with material possessions? What did the dishonest manager do in our parable? To assure himself a comfortable retirement, he gave money away. Whether it was his master's money or his own commission makes no difference. It was shrewd. He knew he was going to lose his job. He would have no chance to collect any more wealth. So he gave away stuff that really wasn't his in the first place. In his shrewdness, he let go of short-term goals to assure his long-term future. But he couldn't have come to that point at all without first realizing the fact of accountability. He does not make excuses or even try to blame anyone else, nor did he delay or ignore the reality of his situation. He acts quickly. So also the Christian must come to the realization that a day of accountability of our stewardship is a fact. Without delay and without excuse, we ought to come before God with our own confession. Can we continue to believe that what we have is really just ours? Soon enough, all the worldly things that surround us will be gone, along with the rest of the world. And then what? Will we and our children have relationships within the body of Christ, or will we simply be about the business of saving tools? Just as an aside here, I wonder sometimes about Noah. Do you think he was shrewd enough to borrow all the money he needed to build the ark? I mean, who is he going to pay back? Note again the phrase, the person who can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And the person who is dishonest with a little is dishonest with much. God has given us much. hasn't he? And much would include faith and forgiveness and glorious eternity. One is either faithful or dishonest in regards to those gifts and to a lesser extent in regards to our earthly wealth. By comparison, perhaps we might think of those areas of the world where monetary affluence is not as prolific as what we experience here, where Christians are persecuted and struggling with what little they have. They have become shrewd in the building up of the kingdom of God. Why is it that in the continent of Africa, thousands of people are added to the church every week, and in North America, we close churches every week? The country of Ethiopia has more Lutherans now in it than the entire continent of North America, Canada and the United States combined. Just one country in Africa. They have loved much. Could it be that they really have much more than you or I? Again and again, we thank God that He forgives our dishonesty and daily places before us opportunities to be faithful, to build and to expand on the grace He shows us. Our daily prayers will include asking the Holy Spirit to show us what we can do and then enable us to do it. Anything short of serving our Lord who died for us, who rose to guarantee us everlasting life, is just as ridiculous as living for bananas. God has called you to be faithful in the use of your gifts. He has even called you to be shrewd and imaginative. But most of all, He has called you to be His own and live with Him right now in His kingdom, a kingdom of true riches. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let's rise for prayer. Almighty God, all that we possess is from your loving hand. Give us grace that we may honor you with all that we own, always remembering the account we must one day give to Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Maker of heaven and earth, you have created man and woman for different offices and with different gifts that they might complement one another and glorify you. Grant that in our homes and congregations your people might rejoice in the callings you have given them. Lord, in your mercy. God, our Savior and Redeemer, uphold Donald, our President, our Governor, and all whom you have placed in high positions with wisdom and mercy, that we may lead peaceable and quiet lives, godly and dignified in every way. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, God of all grace, govern our hearts that we may never forget your blessings, but steadfastly thank and praise you for all the goodness in this life that you give to us. We today thank you for the opportunity to broadcast your word here for 75 years, that all your saints may praise you eternally in your kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, be with the sick and those who suffer, those with troubled minds, those grieving in their sorrows, the dying in their last hours. Today especially we bring before you Carol Brandt, Phyllis Bradyheff, Stanley Bradyheff, Dale Dierker, Lois Giesecke, Evelyn Kincaid, Nolan Kirby, Janet Luchin, Mary Opfer, and Carol Thurman. Also for our family and friends of Emmanuel, for Alan and Cindy Bernard, Brandy Clevenger, Avery England, Jeff Faring, Reverend and Dr. Lee Hagen, Marion Harris, Diane Heerman, Gail Foster Horman, Retta Hamilton, Kelly Krause, Mark Krause, Terry Krause, David Moss, Danny Merrick, Inez Navarro, Rhonda Newpert, Jessica Nicholson, Mary Lou Ramos, Archie and Terry Rainey as they are concerned about an unborn baby girl, Brooke Rykoff, Kimberly Scott, Elliot Smith, Jim and Jolene Studer. Grant them comfort in your presence, relief according to your will, and peace in their hearts. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, whose mercies are new every morning, we give you thanks and praise for all your kindness towards us, and we pray you to grant us the will and desire to worship you joyfully to serve you faithfully, and to proclaim boldly your mighty acts of deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we offer you these prayers, and in whom we trust for you for all things. For to you alone be glory, honor, worship, and praise, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with the gathering of our tithes and offerings. Congregation is asked to please rise as we continue with our offertory. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us also to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Congregation, please rise for our post-communion canticle. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May be seated for our closing hymn.